You're back with Colorado Matters. I'm Zachary Barr. The Becoming Van Gogh exhibit at the Denver Art Museum was so successful, the museum decided to stay open for 36 hours straight next weekend. People will be looking at paintings at 3 and 4 in the morning before the show closes for good Sunday night. Well, let's talk now with the show's curator, Timothy Standring, about what he learned during the course of the exhibit. And for that, I turn the reins over to CPR's Elaine Grant.
Hi, Timothy. Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure being here.
You worked for 7 years to make this happen. Did you learn anything new during the course of the exhibit itself?
One part of the exhibition is that people went through learning unbeknownst to themselves. They spent 90 minutes here, and they found and discovered something about Van Gogh that they didn't know about. Now, was that new? What was new is that it worked.
Tell me exactly what you mean by it worked. You wanted to do something very particular with this exhibit. Talk about that.
Well, we wanted to do something particular in the sense that it wasn't biographical necessarily. It was about his moments of becoming an artist, and so incrementally the visitor would experience with Van Gogh's own steps on his artistic odyssey over 10 years the various moments when he learned how to draw, when he learned about color theory, when he learned about examining the human figure, when he learned about putting it all together in his later works of late 87, 88, 89, 90. In other words, that was quite extraordinary. And everything that we put into the exhibition in terms of section labels, extended labels, tombstone, the flying quotes on the walls, the audio for family as well as children and adults, as well as in Spanish, all of this came to a head, and we stayed focused and on message. So if you take the word curate, which means basically editing and kind of deciding what were going to be the appropriate works to put in this exhibition, that's what our team did.
Give me an example. That it sounds like you had to really do a lot of sifting. We're going to take this, we're not going to take that, we're going to say this, we're not going to say that.
Many curators will cover themselves in terms of the narrative and sometimes get more loans than you can actually put in the exhibition. Imagine this exhibition as a seven-act opera or seven chapters in a novel. Well, we actually had to throw away about four or five chapters of our novel simply because we didn't get the correct work that would have made that segment in the narrative as the visitor would walk through the exhibition. Let me give you an example. I got a stunning drawing approved from Budapest. It was a great black chalk drawing of a woman sewing, but it didn't have any role in any of our storylines. So, I mean, it'd be like in the opera, another aria that somebody would have said, too many notes. You don't need that.
I see. Okay.
So, of course, it was tearful to watch all of these works go away because we had an abundance of loans of Van Gogh because I had worked so hard over the past 4 years, traveling over 100,000 miles a year to garner these loans for our exhibition. We had to have an A list, we had to have a B list, and we had to adjust accordingly as the storyline goes on. Let me give you another
sure,
example.
Yeah.
We had a chapter that was going to deal with memory and imagination. And when Van Gogh was in Arles with Gauguin, Gauguin said, why don't you start to use your imagination and not base it on nature? So he did this still life. It was from a foundation in Athens. We had four or five works that were related to it that were going to tell that story. But at the last minute, there was a lawsuit against the foundation. They had impounded the picture in a Swiss court, and they wouldn't loan it, and so we had to throw that whole chapter out.
Oh, how did you feel?
Well, I mean, it was kind of frustrating, but we all pulled it together and went off on another tract, and I think the proof is in the pudding because, as I said, people are staying 90 minutes in here. Many kind of exhibitions like this, people catch, they look at things and then they kind of run to the store. That's not happening here. And that must be something that our team had put together. We would meet together in our so-called war room with the various works on the wall, looking at them, saying, does this make more sense to put it at the beginning or the end? That's why we've got the three portraits at the end, because we didn't want this to be a biographical story. Everybody knows the portraits of Van Gogh, so we thought that would work much better as a coda instead of as introductory to Van Gogh.
Did you learn anything new from seeing these paintings and drawings here? Anything new from Van Gogh himself after studying Van Gogh for 7 years? You'd think that you would know absolutely everything about Van Gogh. Did he teach you anything after the exhibit was
put up? Well, he taught me something personal. He didn't fail, and I was determined not to fail with this exhibition. That's number one. Number two, we have to walk throughout the exhibition, but I discovered something which I think is a hole in the whole scholarship, and that is he was so original and inventive in his mark-making that I don't think the critical language at the end of the 19th century or beginning of the 20th century had really been able to identify what he was doing in a number of works. For example, there's a still life of 1887 from Geneva in which he painted with a light blue ground behind the flowers in the vase. Then he put a darker blue of indigo and Payne's gray on top of it. Then he took his brush, the wooden part of the brush, and then he scored through the fresh paint to reveal the lighter blue. Oh, isn't that incredible? Now, another example is one of the last paintings in 1890 of Haystacks from Basel. He put his stubby boarhead brush, which was flat-edged, in two different pigments of Chinese white with cobalt blue, dipped it in, and then made striation marks so that it goes like a ribbon, a multicolored ribbon. Nobody was painting like this. And if he had gone to an art school, they would have said, no, this is not following protocol of the proper way to paint. But since he had learned it all by himself, it was natural to him. And it's these kind of unusual approaches of originality to express as much feeling as he wanted to convey. That's the revelation for me in this exhibition.
That originality.
And I haven't seen any scholarly literature that addresses this new dimension of how he went about making marks in this unorthodox way that he does.
Have other museums come to you to copy your success?
They haven't come to copy my success. They've asked to take the whole show. So six different institutions asked if they could have this show, and I don't have any hair left to pull out to renegotiate the loans in order to get this to another institution. One of the reasons why we have it at Denver is because we're an only venue institution. It was more difficult to get the loans for drawings than it was for paintings simply because they're so fragile. Mm-hmm. For example, this drawing of sorrow that we're in front of 1882 from Walsall, when it goes back to England, it will have to sit in darkness for 2 years, which is quite common because they won't be able to use it for their own programming needs simply because of the light damage on works of art on paper.
When you first described the exhibit to us back in October, you said there's a life story here. It's not just about Van Gogh becoming an artist. It tells us that anybody can succeed if you put your mind and heart to it. Does that resonate with you in particular, given that you spent so many years working on this show and look what's happened?
He didn't fail. I wasn't going to fail either. Does that answer it in a tight way? He overcame incredible odds, and that is that life story for all of us. It's a story that families can talk about at dinner time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much as well.
That was Timothy Standring, painting curator of the Denver Art Museum, talking with CPR's Elaine Grant. The Becoming Van Gogh exhibit is sold out. It was so popular that it helped attract more than 250,000 people to the museum in just the last 3 months.